You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Pat, I got something here that'll help you feel better about your golf game that you no longer
all
play.
All righty.
So sent to me by Mike Moran.
Okay.
Adam Scott on hole 16 at Muirfield. Okay. I have yet to see video evidence, but I'm hearing this is correct, that he swung under the ball three times in a row.
Huh?
So 16 at Muirfield's a par three. Shot one, 195 yards hit to left rough, 47 feet left of the hole. Shot two, 47 feet left of the hole. Shot three, 47 feet left to the hole. Shot four to the left rough, 47 feet to the hole. Shot five, 9 feet, 9 inches to left rough, 37 feet, 3 inches to the hole.
Wow. Where's he hitting them from?
Shot number 16, 13 feet to the green, 24 feet, eight to the hole. 24 feet, 8 inches to the hole. Shot seven, putt, 25 feet. 8 inches, 23 to the hole. Shot eight on the hole.
What is it, par three?
Yeah.
And he, what, he kept
There's no video evidence of this.
Kept hitting in the water? Or
no,
what?
He kept whiffing, apparently.
I'll see if I can find it.
Well, everything in the world today is on tape. And you're not seeing this?
They might not have the cameras out yet. I don't know.
Well, somebody with a cell phone would have posted it.
You're not supposed to have them out there. But
And I also want to tell you, I'm glad I didn't run over to a casino and do your bet on the Twins in Toronto. They took two out of three.
I would have, if I was in Vegas,
yep.
The first thing I would have done, let's see, it was 220 to make 100 that game on Friday.
Okay. Yep.
So I was thinking I would have spent 500, but I probably would have wanted to make 200 at least. So I probably would have bet 440 to make 200, and then the worst part, start spending it before the game starts, because knowing it was a cinch. And then, okay, the Twin Garlic, who can really hit left-handed hitters, hits a two-run homer in the first, and Chi-Chi rushes out there, our pitcher Chi-Chi.
Right. Chai-Chai Rodriguez.
Chai-Chai Rodriguez Gonzalez. And second pitch he throws, Springer hits it 900 miles. And I would have said, you know, ran up there said, and said, double it. I thought they were going to get like 28 runs off this guy. And they really played good that night. And here's what's amazing. Chi-Chi gives up three hits in the first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he gives up the Vlad Guerrero's home run that could have killed several people in the second or third?
I don't remember what inning it was.
Second or third. They didn't get a hit off the next five relievers, and none of them were Duran the last six innings. I called TK at home and asked him after the game about baseball upsets, because nobody ever uses upsets when it comes to baseball.
Right.
And he said the best thing that ever happened to those guys was that Guerrero hit that home run and then took 25 seconds to run around the bases, and the Blue Jays teammates spent the rest of the game trying to hit the ball further than he had, swinging from their arses the rest of the game. And this Cotton came in and threw him a bunch of changeups, and they were swinging out of their shoes. And so they won that game. They played really good. And then yesterday, despite Duffy's efforts, they end up getting eight
runs. Is he going to get DFA'd?
I don't know. I don't think they're ready to do that. But
Well, they can't put him out there in a meaningful spot
anymore. What's DFA?
Designated for assignment.
Means you're letting, well, half the guys in St. Paul were DFA'd here, and then they end up back in St. Paul. They call them back, and then they DFA him again. And if you know, you have if you got the 40-man roster, and if these guys, if they don't want to, if they're trying to make room on the 40-man for some other new guy, they often have to take somebody off there and then say, "Hey, if you don't get claimed, we'll, which the odds are strong, they
are
won't.
We cleaning the are we cleaning the Lowry Tunnel? Because the Yankees
are
in town.
Oh, the Yankees are in town starting tomorrow.
Usually wait.
That's who usually wait till the Yankees are in town.
Although the Lowry Tunnel cleaning usually takes place on weekends, doesn't it?
That's true.
I'm not sure.
But this will tell us, because I know, I think it was Twins Daily that had a piece a week or so ago about where are all the fans? We got a first place operation here, and they aren't drawing any fans. We'll find out this week.
Well, the first 6 weeks, you had a good excuse of freezing to death. But, yeah, it's... they had 27,000 their last home game. They must have been giving something away, right, for Kansas City?
Oh, okay.
And that was their only – and then they had 23, but I think they've only had like four crowds, including opening day, they've only had like four or five crowds over 20,000. The Yankees aren't going to fill it up, but 20 – you got to get 28 or 30, right?
I would
think.
For
all three nights. But you know what we run into now, Joe? When the people are looking for excuses, well, a lot of graduations.
Yep.
There's a lot of graduations, yep. And you know, we start making excuses for graduations. But
well, especially when gas is $4.60 a gallon, people don't have the disposable income they did, you know, years before. Right. I think that's part of it, because it's $12 for a beer.
Yeah,
$15 to get a kid's a hot dog and chips and whatnot. I don't know.
Yeah, the grocery store too is you know, if you're feeding a family of four, you know, it's got to be a little pricey. Right?
I will say this though, I told this to Joe earlier, Pat. I don't know if you caught any of the game on the radio yesterday. I love when Gladden and Perkins were doing the game together.
Perkins
I thought that
pretty good.
It's no disrespect Perkins to Atterbury good. When Provis is gone, right. But they were really good and fun to listen to together yesterday.
Perky, you know what I said? I actually went out and drove around the last four innings to listen to it because on a Sunday afternoon. And what I like about Perky is if he doesn't have anything to say, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
More no talks too much.
Yes. And there were a couple of times. There were one, I can't remember who the batter was, but there had to be at least three pitches and that Perky didn't say anything. And then he came up with them. He just let Gladden talk about where the pitch was and everything. He wasn't forcing himself into the action, but then when he had a story to tell or an observation.
Were they
to make,
doing
he
the game
it.
From here?
Yes, they were doing
they
it.
They were, okay.
Why? And why?
COVID protocols with Canada.
The Atterbury and Provis and Kyle Hammer, the producer, all came down, all tested positive in Detroit.
Really?
For COVID. And these guys couldn't get to Toronto. You know, those guys all drove back, and then they had their backup crew.
So this was stay so here Provis was field. Absent because of health.
He was absent because of health.
Okay,
yes.
My question to you was going to be, did Herb Carneal ever take a week off in the summer? I don't think so.
Later in life, he wasn't doing road games. You know,
oh, yeah, that's true.
But not really. They pretty much did the – they might – if they had a graduation or something, they might take a day off, but no.
Are the Edmontons going down tonight?
Yes.
Man alive.
Colorado's that good.
Wow. And Tampa Bay got back in it last
That's
night.
That's too bad. I'm rooting for the Rangers.
So am I.
Yeah. The Rangers.
Although
are...
a three-peat would be kind of cool.
Well, it's
in
tough,
hockey.
Though, that when your hockey capital of the country is Tampa, Florida.
Bay. That's right. That's my problem.
Well, the good thing for hockey will be if New York stays in it, ESPN will actually cover them because it's a New York team.
Right.
ESPN did hockey all this year, though.
That's true.
Yeah, they've been doing it.
That's true.
That was one of the good moves hockey made was getting back
That's
on
true.
ESPN.
I think Edmonton wants to go to the lake.
They're
just not as good.
The other
as
team's
Colorado.
Better than yeah. Sometimes that happens.
You so know. What we would have got
like
from
like Toronto, like the Blue Jays being better than the Twins. I knew that.
So yesterday we would have got Herbie saying the flight will land at 6:53.
Gate 14.
Yes. Yes, he would have said, this game is really kind of moving along at a slow pace here. And our estimated time now has been moved back 50 minutes to such and such. Yeah. It was always intended for Kathy.
When they had, when I remember a couple years ago when we obviously didn't know if we were going to have a baseball season, everything was kind of up in the air, and CCO replayed a bunch of old Twins games, you know, on a Sunday afternoon or whatever. And I remember, I think I texted both of you saying, all right, they're replaying game one of the 87. I'll be in the car for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
I was just finding an excuse to drive somewhere just to listen to
funny.
Her do a game.
I was... For Saturday, I hate replays. I pay no attention to them.
Sure.
Whether they're on TV or anything, I don't watch replays very often. But I was in the car on Saturday afternoon, nothing's going on, and they replayed that 87 game. And Gladdy hit the big home run.
The grand slam.
Grand slam in game one in 87. And then I started thinking, wait a minute now. That ignited it, right? And Gladdy coming home 4 years later.
Sure.
Finished it.
Sure.
Finished the madness. So I went out and I called him up and said, okay, I got to do a piece on the bookends of the
two World
the
Series.
Things.
Yeah.
And Gladdy, I get out there and he's got the broken bat in the living room that he, when he hit the double.
Oh, off Pena. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, he still had the broken bat. And he was waiting to frame it. He hadn't framed it yet. But the story there was, Joe, the boys win that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they win the World Series.
Right.
And Scott Erickson and Chili Davis, a couple of very eligible bachelors, had rented Roy Smalley's townhouse. You know, he lived in a townhouse that were like, side by side.
Yeah.
Side by side, sign out, because he and his wife had built a new house.
Right.
Because they were having kids and stuff. But he hadn't sold it yet. So they rented it. And the post game party after the celebration in the, you know, of the game seven took place at Chili and Scott Erickson's place.
Yeah.
And they did a little extra damage knowing that Roy owned it just to, but at 6:30 in the morning, Gladden says to Clayton Wilson, the equipment manager, where's that bat? Where'd you put that bat? And he says, oh, hell, I threw it in the garbage can outside the clubhouse, you know, the bat. And Gladden says, we need that bleeping bat, man. Say, I don't know who drove. They might have had a chauffeur. But 6:30 in the morning, they drive down.
Back to the dome?
They drive back to the dome. They talk their way in through the security. Hey, we got to go in. They drive down as close as they can get. They go down a hall, weave down the hall, and there it is sitting in the garbage can.
What do you mean they had to talk their way in? It's three guys that just won a World Series 12 hours before.
But security gate,
oh, I suppose,
you know,
yeah.
Get them to open the gate.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Thing. Yeah, I mean, they can go in and get the bat, so he still got the bat. And that was a...
Has he got both pieces?
Yeah, that's the thing. He got the two pieces.
Right. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you said waiting to... That was 31 years ago. How has he not had it framed yet?
I don't know. I don't know. He probably is waiting. He owns a farm, you know.
Oh, yeah, the hop farm.
And St. Bonifacius, 60 acres, I think. And he, you know, does all. He's got earth movers and stuff. He just moves earth. Not for any particular reason.
Just to move it around.
He just moves around. Yeah. But he built this big garage, the garage from hell. It's almost a big old party room and everything, and he's built all this stuff out there, and he loves being out there in St. Bonifacius at that farm, and you know, he does stuff.
Does he live there in the winter?
No, I think he might. No, they got a spot in town too. His wife Janice.
I mean, do they go to Florida?
Oh, he's got an Arizona spot. Yeah, he goes. They go down in Arizona. They got an Arizona place too. Yeah, he was you know, real tight with Puck when Puck was down there, when he was living down there, and he died, and he was with him when he died.
Well, it sounds like Gladdy tucked away a few bucks.
Yeah, he was known for his frugality.
Right.
Yeah, he was one of those baseball players that, You know, if he could get in for free, he did.
Right. Wasn't that the famous story in the Red Sox clubhouse when they said, well, we'll make it up to you by donating money to your favorite charity? And Gladden said, well, whatever his daughter's name was, the whatever yeah. Gladden College Fund
yes,
was
right.
the charity he wanted the money donated to, which is such a great story.
You know, one of his daughters is married to Gaetti, Joe Gaetti. Gaetti's
oh,
son. Yeah.
Really?
They're married. Yeah. So I think they live in town. She lives here.
Okay.
Joe lives here, I think. I don't know where the hell Gary's living now. Houston.
Well, he was coaching the Sugarland Skeeters for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he gave that up.
I'm
not sure where he is. But anyway, that's a good thing. Now, so anyway, our Twinkies, you know, I was talking, you know, it was better than we thought, Gary Sanchez.
Yes.
Gets some hits, hits the ball to right field, not a butcher behind the plate. And he really comes in handy when your other catcher's hitting 170.
Boy, I'll say.
Are you going to go for your prediction that this will be a Yankee sweep?
I believe it will be a Yankee
sweep.
Well,
then I'm going the other way.
No, this time I agree with Pat. The Yankees are really
good.
Their
pitching has been fantastic. Their starting pitching has been off the charts.
It was your guy Verducci. He said that they've incorporated the splitter with all of their starting staff. And all of their ERAs are about a run better than they were last year.
They've done
of all their starters.
Incorporated what?
The splitter, the split fastball.
Oh, everybody's throwing it.
Yeah, including Cole.
So the story yesterday, somebody told me on the Toronto broadcast with Dan Shulman and and whoever, the guy Joe, somebody is his partner. By the end of the first inning, they were saying the Twins have seen something. With Kevin Gausman's big pitch is the splitter.
Mm-hmm.
Almost unhittable. That's what makes him good. The Twins were never swinging at it. No, they
oh, only, so he was tipping?
Only had one or two. So they came into the game, according to these guys, having detected something with their video study of he did something with his grip or somehow. To know the splitter was coming. So they just didn't swing at it. I mean, maybe when it got to two strikes. But they waited for, and then they just pounded the crap out of his fastball because they knew that was coming when they didn't see that crap, right?
Joe Siddle is his name.
Joe Siddle.
S-I-D-D-A-L.
So then I saw a long story today in the Toronto Sun about that topic. Mm-hmm. And Rocco actually had 2-3 quotes. I didn't see him in our paper. About well, I thought we had a really good approach and something. I texted Rocco last night. He didn't respond, but I said the Toronto TV team was very suspicious mm-hmm. that you fellas knew what was coming, and he didn't respond to it. Next time I see him, I'll get it out of him. But
the non-response is damn near a confirmation.
Yeah, it would be.
That's part of the game. If you're tipping pitches, you know.
And those guys said that he threw 16 splitters the first inning and 7 the next 3 innings.
Oh, wow.
Because they weren't swinging at it. Because it's rarely a strike.
Right.
You know,
it always tails out of the ball.
Right, yeah, it's intended to bounce on the ground, basically. So if you don't swing at it, it's going to be a ball. And then he gets himself in a situation where
he's
got to
throw
fastball.
A fastball.
So
yeah.
One of our crack 28 analyst TV studiers must have mm-hmm. seen something with his grip.
Were we banging on a trash can?
And Gausman was, after the game was asked, he says, well, I'll have to take a hard look at it and see if something's going on.
Okay. You know, well, we weren't banging on the trash cans.
No,
this was just,
no, yeah. I think it...
You put on a game. What time? When did they play Friday?
6:00.
Oh, weren't we in here one day when I heard a banging on a trash can? There was a Twins game on?
We were watching a Twins game the other day.
Yeah.
It was a day game against Detroit.
Well, I thought we heard a trash can or something.
No, you're thinking of when a couple years ago when it was discovered that the Astros had been cheating and we were watching the video of you could hear the guy banging on the trash can right before the pitcher delivered.
Yeah, in this case, they must have just said, somebody from the dugout might have, yeah, you know, you made some sound, right?
Okay.
Wouldn't you think?
Or if it's a glove movement or something.
Count on the hitters to pick up on it. How about that Louis Arraez, man? 358.
Went 4-for-4.
358 when the entire baseball's hitting about 228. I meant to look that up today, what the what the current average in Major League Baseball is, but it's not over 230. And this
I can
is,
do it right now.
This is the equivalent of 400, basically. He's he moves the ball around, that's for sure. He just hits it hard someplace, and that's pretty amazing. And Rocco still doesn't like playing him against lefties because he's only hitting 225 against him.
But if he starts hitting the other way like he was doing yesterday, he's going to be pretty hard to get out because he doesn't strike out.
No.
You know?
You drove around a little to listen to the game?
Yep.
So you're not affected by the gas prices?
No. I mean, what do I got? Drive here and where are you and I driving?
We're not going.
You're driving. I mean, you know, I can tell you. With the missus,
yeah,
as my partner,
yeah,
these gas prices could be costing her an extra $6-7 a week, as many miles as she puts on the car. Yeah. You know, she's I think this thing's 11 years old now. This Volvo,
yeah,
it was a great car. I think she's just hitting about 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get a hell of a used car.
They are.
In fact, remind me, was this the car that you had to replace the tires on it because it had sat idle for so long?
Yes, that was true. We did have to get new tires, but the tires just
were they all flat?
They sat in the garage. They just were worn out from being on the car for 11 years without even
they probably had flat
driving.
Spots, so you went like a Flintstone car.
Yeah, well, we did get new tires because they just said these are soft and unused.
Your league batting average is .240 on the nose,
oh,
sir.
Oh, really? It's that
.240
high.
On the
okay,
nose.
It's higher than I thought.
.244 for a league last year in
Judd
2021.
Judd mentioned this to me today, though, and I think he might be right. Have we sneaked in the – have we gone back to the more lively baseball? All of a sudden, home runs coming galore all over the place. Or is it just summer? Is
that could
it just
be it too.
I think it's summer.
Just warmer. I don't know. They could have gone back to the helium ball too. Who knows the atom ball?
The helium ball.
They could screw up a one car parade, man.
Why I don't have much faith, Joe. The Yankees have a run differential of I believe 102 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, they are.
This is the best record at this point of the season, 55, at the one-third mark since Seattle, the team that won 116 games.
Oh, is that right?
That, 01?
That was 2001, it? Yes.
Yeah,
they're at 39-15.
Yes, that's exactly the one-third. Joe, that's 54 games.
Mm-hmm.
54 is one-third of 162, as
Thank you
very well know.
Well, I have a pencil. I could have done that.
That's right. That's 54.
A third of the season is already
third
gone.
Of the season.
Oh, yes. The state fair is going to be here in just a matter of days.
Dan, pretty much it'll snow.
Pretty soon you're going to have my unfavored stories in the two local newspapers. New food items at the fair. Yep. That's what I want to say.
Well, that's
summer's
what
over.
Johnny Height loves to just sprinkle those in the newscast just to agitate the mayor. You know,
you guys think that I don't like doing the fair shows.
No. Not that you don't like the fair. It's a reminder of the summer's over.
Life is passing us by.
This year you have fried porcupine on a stick. Yeah. Yeah, be sure to go eat it. How about just food? You know, a nice corn dog. That's all you need.
It's an old
it's gotta
to
be
eating.
A prono
the whole thing is about food.
Yeah, it used to be about, you know. I miss the old days when you were a kid and you went to the freak shows and stuff like that. You know,
can't do that now. You know. Too insensitive. Bonnie and Clyde's bullet-riddled Ford.
Yeah, do we even have that?
Irvy the rotting whale.
Yeah, right.
Motorcycle races in a barrel.
Irvy the whale used to weigh like 7 tons. He's down to about 150.
Right.
We still got him.
Flies crawling around. People lined up paying a buck to see it.
Yeah, right.
I told you the one time I saw the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
Well, some lineman for Kansas or something. You know, Nebraska doing a summer gig.
Yeah.
But speaks no English. Come in and see him. And so I fell for it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I went to grab one of his postcards. He said, "Hey, kid, those are a quarter."
Well, he
speaks
didn't speak
no English.
Yeah.
Speaks money.
Yeah, speaks money.
Yeah. That's true. That's like your Bud story. Yeah, sure. That's what did he tell the gal? 25 by the photo
of the daughter of the teammate.
The daughter, yeah.
Oh, for that I have to charge you.
You have to charge you $25. Yeah. Gee, he was a great teammate. Yeah. I loved him.
Oh, I loved him. Yeah. Can I take my photo with you? Well, in that case, I have to charge you $25.
I don't want some of these other people thinking they can get him for free.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
See, he was a balanced guy.
Best Kenny was asking you, well, that money goes to charity, right, that he's selling at the garage sale?
Yeah, Bud Grant's charity.
Right.
You know what you see at the fights? You see a... This in the Armory, even more so.
This is a Saturday
night
fight at the Armory.
At the Armory. Now the Met Center. You know, you've been out there for some big fights, and you see this kind of unique crowd.
Yeah.
But the Armory.
Yeah.
Has created a really urban crowd.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
And it's in a smaller confined area, right. And a lot of people are standing, and they got two bars 60 yards long on each side. And it is one of the greatest sports crowds I've seen. Because, for instance, the wife is sitting next to me here, and then over her, Robbie Lear put us in a nice seat next to Brother Larry and another guy working for him. But on the stairwell next to us is a young. Well, not young. I'd say she was in her early 30s.
Yeah.
A loud young lady who was drinking already to excess by the time the David Morrell fight started. And she screamed, "Knock him the bleep out," every 15 seconds.
Wow.
For four rounds.
Oh, my God.
At the top of her lungs. And... Then there's another guy behind us saying, "Hit him in the kidneys! Hit him in the kidneys!"
An angry crowd.
And then he switched to hit him in the spine or so. I mean, he changed body parts, this guy. But I love the boxing instructions that people give. Tell them they're, 20 yards from the ring and they... they're not listening to you. You know,
or do you think he's like, I should try that.
It's like Cousins. See him, look at him, throw it to him. You know, but it's fun. And one thing I noticed,
the DA went to the fight.
He went to that talk. I had to buy her dinner at a nice downtown restaurant before we went to the fights. And what you see is a lot of younger ladies who are wearing clothes that are not size appropriate.
Okay.
You know? I mean, how did you get into those, honey? You know? I mean,
oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I love it.
So it might be a big girl.
Big girl in a small...
In smaller
and a
pants.
Medium-sized girl's clothes. Yeah.
To quote Chris Rock, he would say, "That pump that she was wearing was holding on for dear life."
Yeah, right. Yes. Yes, that's right. But it's a great crowd, man.
I know a guy who went to that fight, and he said everybody, each camp has their entourage and then certain music that they will play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another thing that, because after a while, the DA was kind of holding her forehead like she had a headache, you know. And
yeah.
I don't think she's a big fan of Spanish rap.
Right.
You know? Because... You know, one of the fighters was Hispanic.
What is the status of boxing in this country?
It's hanging on. They had 18,000 in Brooklyn a week ago Saturday.
Really?
A week ago Saturday for this Gervonta Davis and at the Barclays Center. And, and they pay-per-viewed it. I don't know how big a pay-per-view they did, but That's one reason that they showed that fight at 8 o'clock before the two fights that were here, but it's doing okay at the Armory. It's the right size, and they just had their biggest crowd.
What'd they charge for a ticket there, Pat?
I'm not Sure.
Okay.
I used my media connections.
Sure,
I needed the wife to help me take notes, so we got.
Okay.
You know.
Well, of course you did.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it.
This is my intern.
I'm not sure what they cost, but I'd like to have the profits from those two bars, because bars would go from here to our parking lot.
I know a guy that bartends at the Armory. I don't know if he was working Saturday night, but he said every time there's a big event, they always go home with a boatload of cash.
They do good on concerts, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those are pretty urban, too.
But it's been renovated very well, right?
Oh, God, $30, $40 million. Yeah, yeah. I think 50.
Is that on the National Register of Historic Places?
Yes, but Ned Abdul, who was a downtown developer, did it all himself. Mm-hmm. Not a nickel of public money.
Wow.
And they wanted to give him tax increment financing, and he said nope. He didn't want anybody bad-mouthing him because he took public money.
Where do you park? Wherever you can find a spot on the street?
Yeah, we parked four blocks away, $15. Yeah. You know, but if you're right next to it, it's like 30. Yeah. So.
Because you got the two that are associated with U.S. Bank, the two parking ramps, right? The Fleet Farm ramps or whatever. Those are pretty close.
So was it dark when you walked back to the car?
Yeah, it was 11 o'clock.
Well, that's dark.
It's fine.
And you felt safe and the whole deal.
That made a lot of people walking around. We're walking with Tony Oliva.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Tony was there watching David Morrell. Yeah. Stuck, you know, Tony was sitting right up front. They didn't introduce Tony to the crowd.
What happened
in the old days? Dignitaries
say hello to Don Rickles.
Yeah, right. Well,
Frank, can't you see him eating?
The great thing about the Vegas fights was ringside seats are 10,000, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they used to say. Well, these are 10,000, all given to celebrities.
Right.
And then you take 10,000 times how many that is and take it off the nut as a business expense.
Right.
So you announce an outrageous price for tickets, but you don't sell them. You give them to celebrities. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they've gotten away with that scam for years. How many fights you see in Vegas?
Oh, man.
Three, four?
At least. Yeah.
Is that the scene of the famous, boy, that was some fight?
Oh, that was Madison Square Garden.
Never saw a fight there. God, I would have loved to have seen a fight.
Well, the one I saw lasted about a minute and 20 seconds because Norton hit Bobic in the throat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was not good for Dwayne.
Boy, what a fight.
Don't you call me.
What are you calling boy? I, sir, I meant holy cow or, you know, man alive.
Gee willikers.
Wowee.
Yeah. Yeah. Ken Norton. Ken Norton was not a guy I'd want to have mad at me.
No.
Well, then he comes to town to fight Ledoux.
Yeah.
That's 5-6 years later.
Yeah.
I walk into where he's training. He looks at me and he says, don't you call me boy.
That's unbelievable.
It is. It told me a lot about him. I thought he was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, the brains, you know, being a boxer,
you'd think he'd be all fried, scrambled
by then. But, he was. Now, that was I was up in Brainerd that weekend for some reason. Covering the races when they fought, but Ledoux gave him a good fight, right?
Yeah,
didn't it end up? I mean, and somebody didn't he knock him out of the ring or something?
I thought that was the fight. Where did Ledoux really get bloodied at Met
that
Sports
was Larry
Center?
Holmes.
That was
Larry
Holmes. Yeah,
but
that was painful.
That was awful. And Scott, I went in to see him after the fight. He and Joe, and they said, "I said." He was saying, man, they were mad that he stopped the fight in the eighth round.
He was terrible.
He said, we were working a man. We had our plan.
The plan was to use Ledoux's face.
I said, Scott, I hate to tell you this, but was the plan to hope that Holmes didn't like the sight of blood?
Right.
I said, this was how, and his wife, you know, Sandy was had cancer then, she was at ringside, and you were going, ow, man,
oh, it was
that
dreadful.
Was hard to watch.
It was dreadful.
Hit him right in the face about 300 times.
The plan
times.
Was hoping that Holmes would become exhausted.
He had some good fights in town, though. He made a little money fighting, you know. And, but you were, Bobic, they were building him up, the Great White Hope, and boom, that took care of him one round, so... Yeah, it was the best fight I ever was out there for. Aaron Pryor, who was he fighting? I saw a couple of Tyson fights, but they weren't good fights. But Aaron Pryor, who was great, but he's the guy that his girlfriend stabbed him and said that she just she just proved that she loved me.
Right.
He was a little jealous.
Did that fight make the Sunday paper?
I think if you got the right edition, but not if you saw it in St. Paul.
Was it being covered by a sports writer?
No. Well, I was there, but yeah. We didn't.
Patrick, you didn't file anything, did you?
No, it was too late and didn't I? I think maybe inside there might be one more page. But if you got it in, it probably was the makeover with the current. We got the fights in, but I don't know how what time it was. So yeah, that's a it's fun though. I like it. I beats the hell out of that MMA crapple.
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan.
I always thought fights were good writing.
Oh God, yes.
Good writing chances.
When you had time, it was. Well, the build-up, the press conference on Thursday was great.
Yeah.
Ron, what was his name? Ron Flores. Rob Flores, was it? He was the guy from Showtime that introduced the fighters there the four fighters. They had the main guys. And you know what? Rob asked all the questions. It was a half hour. They called it a press conference, but Rob asked all the questions. I think it's Rob. He's got the nice blue suit on.
Yeah.
Baby blue suit, vest, ruffled shirt. You know what they do in boxing when they're interviewing you? They ask a lot of leading questions. And they, those sound like fighting words to me.
Yeah. What was the fight in Vegas I covered that was it Spinks and?
Probably Spinks.
But Don Riley was there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
Hearns.
Hearns. Tommy Hitman Hearns.
Yes.
Who wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yes, right.
Came back to look at what Riley had done. It was just quote after quote by Hearns.
He laid out the plan.
Right.
He laid out.
All made up.
And it was, hey, Don.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do, Don. A great imagination.
Yeah.
But Hearns, I got to tell you one more Hearns story. Al Bernstein, has been boxing since 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of your, he's now Showtime, but he's one of the guys that's on the broadcast, but he's been in since 80. He got his start because he was writing for a couple of boxing magazines, and they had hired Thomas Hearns to be an analyst mm-hmm. for fights that he wasn't in. And he was so incommunicative, they asked Al to go sit next to him and kind of spunk it, liven it up a little bit when Tommy was having trouble.
Oh, man.
So Tommy started his analyst, not really an analyst, but a kind of reporter on the fight. So, but he's been at it for 42 years.
Wow.
Thanks to Tommy Hearns. Tommy's still with us, though, isn't he?
Tommy's still
with us, yeah.
I can look it up.
Yeah. He was a great fighter. But not a real glib guy, as you say.
No. Didn't say a word to anybody.
Was that for Leonard?
Had to be
for Leonard. One of the Leonard fights.
63
right?
years old from Grand Junction, Tennessee. Still
now,
with us. Still.
Now, he was...
Born in Grand Junction, Tennessee.
And then ended up moving to... Dad probably got a job in the auto industry and moved north to Detroit because he was from the Motor City.
Hey, really quick, did... Was there any more fallout from the controversy, I'm using air quotes, around Jim Cott last week?
I think it died down.
Okay, good.
People realize Cortez? Nestor the Molester.
But he even issued a tweet saying, why are you mad at Jim?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not mad at him. No. Why is anybody else mad at him?
And by the way, there is a different version. There is a different definition of molest that's not playing with kids.
Right.
Or something,
Okay, yeah, so they didn't pull him from the broadcast in MLB or anything like that.
I did say on Twitter, I said, Vlad molested that baseball.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Jackasses. God almighty. Boy, we are looking to be offended.
We really are.
Yes, we are.
That's for sure.
All right.
Hey, Joe, if you want to escape all this noise.
Well, you get to Giants Ridge.
That's where you go.
Oh, man.
Home to the legend in the quarry, two of the best golf courses in the country, not to mention Minnesota, and a great family vacation destination because in addition to the wonderful golf, there's water recreation and biking and hiking and the newest and largest lift-serve mountain bike park in the Midwest, dining, lodging, and more. And these two brilliant golf courses. Now through August 29th, you can play the legend in the quarry on the same day and lunch on them at the Wakuta Grill, which features one of the finest and most peaceful overlooks in all of northern Minnesota. View 3D course flyovers of the Legend in the Quarry at GiantsRidge.com. You can book tee times online at GiantsRidge.com or by calling 218-865-8030.
We'll see you later.
Yeah.